Raveley says if he reads out his statement under oath, he'll be committing perjury, and so will you.
Joe, a simple yes or no. Are you still seeing her?
It'll be all around the barracks. He smashed the Major's daughter.
I'm just not army wife material.
There's no such thing as
I'm not Angela! And if this is her life, then I don't want it.
I'll be back when the baby's born, OK?
Tasha's had a letter. They've confirmed the date for the inquest.
Get some answers at last.
In an OD on Smacklove. He died doing something important. Don't sell that short, yeah?
Homefront, an overcast day. A Union Jack flag hangs limply from a pole attached to a building facade overlooking the market square in Laysham. In a grey suit and white blouse, Paula walks across the rain-slick square. She clocks a newspaper board for the Chronicle. Hero Matt inquest resumes. She buys a paper. Paula heads off round the corner. At Raveley's cookhouse, Howard is in the kitchen. In a green apron, he frowns absently and listlessly tends a frying pan. Still frowning, his eyes rove. At home on the sofa, Tasha drinks a cuppa and stares into space. In the kitchen at the Barthams, Pete looks thoughtful. Millie comes down in her school uniform. Claire follows.
Trusted to walk. I don't need an escort.
Look, but Dad's just offering you a lift. There's no hidden agenda.
Yeah.
Millie takes the car keys and goes.
Well, why don't I come home for lunch? Because we haven't really talked.
I apologise.
Well, not properly talked.
In army fatigues, Pete puts a mug down.
I've got to go to work. Sorry.
He stops and takes his coat off the banister. He turns and goes back into the kitchen. He puts his hand on Claire's hair.
I'll cook tonight. See you when you get home.
From Martin's. With Sam.
With Sam.
Pete leaves the house. At the barracks, small squads of men march past the hangars. In a black beret, Pete comes outside and spots a car pulling up. Tom climbs out and clocks Pete watching. They walk together inside a hangar, past a row of parked jeeps.
So the CO tells me you've had a crisis of conscience. You want to change your witness statement in court?
I think my brother deserved better.
Well, he didn't deserve to die.
Better than this exercise in arse covering, sir.
He was buried with full military honours.
They flew me from the front line for this inquest.
Both our statements praised his courage. He died selflessly, a warrior.
Sir.
And you want to rip that up?
I don't want to lie under oath.
You want to tell your mother that her lad lost the plot and aimed to put a bullet in his leg to get a fast track home?
I should have let him.
But you didn't. Why?
He'd still be alive.
Pete takes a step forward.
Did you think he owed a duty to the unit? Did you think he should man up? Did you think the same as me?
I thought that he was emotionally and mentally fragile and that his OC would protect him. I was wrong.
And if he hadn't been your brother, would he still have thought the same?
Yes, sir. Permission to be excused, sir.
You have had 6 years exemplary
service. He was my brother for 23. Permission to be excused, sir.
Tom stares defiantly.
On your way.
Tom marches off. With Sam in the passenger seat, Claire pulls her car over and turns off the radio.
I was listening to that.
Coldplay. Listen, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you said.
On the phone. I just wanted to say it to your face.
You were that busy selling kitchens and chasing after Millie. You didn't even realise I'd gone.
Of course I did. I just presumed that you'd be all right because you're always all right. Look, this was meant to be a surprise, but... Do you still like Dog Jack?
She hands him an envelope. Greasy-haired Sam finds two tickets inside. He looks at Claire.
Two tickets?
Yeah, I thought you could take a friend... You know, from school.
Sam looks away. At the cookhouse, Tom is behind the counter with Howard.
You know the list is injuries.
Every scratch, every blast amputation. Yeah. Do you think Mum's up to hearing that?
What else?
Matt was on a disciplinary the day that he died.
What for? What for?
At the funeral, we kind of made him out to be a hero.
Soldier, soldier, that's what Batham called him.
He wasn't a hero, Dad. He was shit scared.
Like everyone. You just don't say it out loud.
Hey, message from table four. He's got a throat like Gandhi's flip-flop. Oh, it's good to have you back. Whatever the reason.
Paula hugs Tom and kisses his cheek. Tasha's in the kitchen at Louise's house.
Adam's driving me to Carl. Could have got off with Howard, but an hour each way in the car with Paula.
Louise hands her a cuppa.
Alfie will be fine. The question is, will you? The visiting officer keeps saying chin up, last hurdle.
Birthdays, Christmas, anniversaries. They're all going to be waiting to trip you up. I'm learning fast. 8 years married on Sunday.
Is there no way back?
I know how that must seem to you. Where there's life, there's hope. And all that. Joe completely humiliated me. Twice. I've thought about taking him back for the girls' sake, but then what signal does that send them?
I can't compare.
No. You can't. Because when Matt told you he loved you, he meant it. No one can ever take that away.
Tasha puts her hand on Louise's arm. A customer stands up at the cookhouse.
Mrs. Ravely, Faisal Aga.
I'm from Parents for Peace. I read about your son in the Chronicle.
I'm not interested.
Losing a child is tragic at any age. Losing a child in conflict is...
Look, I know who you lot are.
Your loss is our loss, Mr. Ravely.
No, no. Our loss is your game, pal. Our son died so people like you could stand on a soapbox spouting crap.
I didn't come here to argue
Good.
With you.
Good. Disappear.
The customer, Faisal, leaves.
Parents for Peace. What does that make us? Parents for War.
Howard heads back behind the counter. Paula picks up the leaflet that Faisal left. At Tasha's house, Alfie's asleep in his room. Tasha and Tom are in the doorway.
Must be great to sleep like that.
A framed photo of Matt.
We kiss him every night and every morning.
She kisses her fingers and touches the photo.
Come on, I'll get you a drink.
She leaves Tom in the doorway looking tearful. Night, at the Ravelys, Howard and Paula are in the living room.
You're always telling me to get in touch with my feelings, right? Well, here goes. This inquest, I can't do it.
Oh.
I want us to go somewhere and do something. The lakes, Blackpool, anywhere.
Our son gave his life.
Yeah, but it won't be our son. It'll just be a statistic.
Not to me. Or Tasha. Not to Tom. Do you want him giving evidence to strangers while we're off riding the waltzes? It's a chance for our voice to be heard.
Pay for a solicitor. Sit there like a nodding dog ticking boxes, Paula.
We'll feel better.
Some bloke listing every scratch, every blast amputation. It'll haunt you, love.
Howard... I need it.
Eyes wide, Howard turns away, nodding. Day, at the Barthams, Claire finds Pete in the living room. They're both in their dressing gowns. Pete reads the document.
You're up early.
Couldn't sleep.
She sits beside him and rubs his back.
Today it's not routine, is it? Shut me out if you want.
No, I don't want.
It's more than being upset over Millie.
There have been rumours. Guys saying Matt should have been sent home.
By you?
By me. But my job's about the bigger picture. My responsibilities to the company.
And these rumours...
They're bad for morale. But today, we'll kill them off.
I want to come with you.
Pete smiles.
No. But thank you.
He kisses her hair. Claire works at the Laysham Kitchen Company. She shakes her customer's hand.
Shall we see you on the 23rd?
Chris comes over.
Congratulations, Claire. Your first sale. So it gives me great pleasure to present you with
The Midgley file. We started it together, but it's time to fly solo. Speech! Speech!
Claire smiles. Colleague Melanie glares at her. Paula, Howard and Tom are outside the coroner's court.
See you in there, Dad.
Blame the sat-nav.
Blame the copper who drove the wrong way up a one-way street.
Joe Maloney, solicitor, representing the families in court.
Hi, John.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi.
All right, come on.
John, do you mind if we have a quick word?
No, of course.
Thanks.
In the office at work, Melanie approaches Claire.
I value honesty in the workplace. Do you value honesty, Claire?
Yeah.
Best policy. Two coffees, four, sometimes five teas a day, 5 days a week, 3 weeks in the job. Do you think it pays for itself?
She holds up a collection tin. Claire hands her a file.
Meet the Midgleys. She's a classic passive aggressive and he's a minge bag. Enjoy.
Claire?
What's the problem, Claire?
The problem is that there's death and destruction going on out there. People's futures are hanging in the balance and your pressing concern is the price of a cup of tea.
Oh, I really
the
say...
trial is over. You failed.
She walks out with her coat and bag. At the coroner's court, Paula, Howard and Tom arrive. Pete is already there with Stuart, both of them in uniform. Howard spots Faisal at the back of the room.
What are they doing here?
Oh.
The White Poppy Brigade. Brass nerve of it.
It is a public gallery, Howard.
Tom's in uniform. Paula puts her hand on his arm.
Just tell the truth, love. That's all we want to hear.
Tom glances at Pete and Stuart, both watching him. Pete's on the stand.
Tell us, please, about the disciplinary incident mentioned in your statement.
Private Raveley discharged a round of ammunition at base camp.
Accidentally, whilst cleaning his rifle, the incident was marked on his service record.
So he was disciplined and no further action was taken?
It was a careless mistake. He was a valuable member of the unit. I knew that. He knew that.
Tell us, please, about the incidents leading up to his death.
We were approaching a compound when we came under effective enemy fire. We took cover inside. There wasn't time to clear it. It looked deserted. Private Raveley was returning fire when a small boy appeared. He couldn't have been more than 2 years of age. It's a recognized Taliban tactic to use children.
As decoys. But Private Raveley went to the boy anyway.
Pete's distracted as Claire walks in.
Major Bartham.
She sits at the back.
Private Raveley carried the boy out of the line of fire, got him safely back to his mother.
At Louise's house.
Oh, the forget. Oh, what is going on?
Louise joins the kids at the sink.
Are you really wet? Oh, should we go and get you dry? Yeah.
She takes Alfie upstairs.
Gracie, you have to be nice to Alfie because he hasn't got a daddy.
Louise frowns.
The explosive shattered the left side of Private Raveley's body when he stepped on it. I did what I could to stem the external bleeding.
This was while under attack?
A sniper had the two of us pinned down. I couldn't move Matt. I kept applying CPR, kept talking to him.
Was he conscious?
His breathing was very shallow. His pulse was weak, getting weaker.
Did you expect him to recover?
From such extensive injuries, not a chance.
And yet you stayed with him under sniper fire for 50 minutes.
I wouldn't want to die alone. You do the best you can.
Mr. Maloney, any questions from the family?
John stands.
What can you tell us about Matt's state of mind on this day?
Very little. He was his usual self.
Had Matt Raveley been taught about the use of children as decoys?
Yes.
And yet we're expected to believe he walked into an obvious trap.
All I can think is that for a split second, he let the father in him overtake the soldier.
Does the Major think it's significant that Matt wasn't eating, wasn't sleeping, and was anxious to the point of paranoia?
Where's the evidence of that?
In the last letter he sent home to his wife.
Looking at Paula.
How could you do that?
Tasha's eyes rove.
The coroner's requested you take the stand.
No.
Or at least provide a copy of the letter.
It's private. It's nothing to do with all
you
of this.
You don't have to give them anything.
Howard?
Now, they're trying to pin the blame on me. No way. For a bomb that killed Matt, you tell them that.
What's the point in paying a solicitor if you're going to want
to marry? Tell me, Paula. What is the point of all this?
In the courtroom, Tom is on the stand.
Sergeant Raveley, what can you tell us about your brother's final letter home?
I haven't seen it.
Then we'll disregard your last question, Mr. Maloney, since the letter's not available, nor felt to be relevant. Sergeant Raveley, was Matt the only soldier to go to the little boy?
You're under fire, you're focused, you've all got your jobs to do, so...
Did Matt's state of mind stop him doing his job?
You've got to understand, it's intense out there and boring. You've got too much time to think or none at all.
How would you describe Matt's demeanour around this time? I shall remind you that you're under oath.
He wasn't sleeping. He was getting himself worked up over nothing.
What do you mean by nothing?
Stuff. Stuff that didn't matter. That wasn't important. He'd, he'd called home earlier that week and no one was in. His mind was working overtime.
He thought his wife was in danger?
Tom's eyes rove.
Sergeant Raveley.
He thought his wife was with other men.
Tasha walks out.
He was wrong.
You happy now?
You said he wasn't sleeping. We've heard he was becoming careless in his work.
A one-off. No damage was done.
But he was reprimanded. Did this upset him?
Anxious Tom looks at Paula. She nods. Howard watches with a fixed frown.
That's the army. Matt understood.
So in your professional view, was Private Raveley fit for combat?
Absolutely, yeah. My brother was a good soldier. A warrior.
Pete nods.
It's a whitewash.
Paula walks out in the corridor outside.
Your own son's private letter? Where is your loyalty?
Where's the loyalty to us? We've given our lives to the army. We gave them our son, and this is how they repay us. Closing ranks.
Paula shakes her head and fumes. Howard stalks off with a baffled lift of his eyebrows. Tasha's brother Adam leaves the courtroom on his phone.
Tasha, it's over. Where are you? Ring me back when you get this.
Pete finds Claire waiting.
He didn't tell me any of that stuff.
She hugs him.
He didn't need to know.
Listen, I've resigned. I thought that having that job would solve something or everything, but it hasn't.
Sensibly handled, Pete. Well done.
They shake hands.
Press need a statement. If you don't mind, Colonel, I'm signing off for the day. Of course. No problem. Claire?
In a black beret, Stuart faces the press.
Today, the coroner recorded a verdict of unlawful killing in the case of Private Matthew Raveley, a popular and committed father of one who died aged 23. I wish to extend my deepest sympathies to his family and to publicly acknowledge his bravery. I wish also to commend the bravery of Major Peter Bartham, who consoled and protected Matthew in his dying moments in the most hazardous of conditions. Their actions are a credit to our armed forces. Thank you.
Mr. Arger, comment on the inquest for the Chronicle.
This is a tragic and unnecessary loss of another local son in a war which we can plainly never win.
Oh, that! Leave it!
These cracks aren't a story.
An inquest should be a time for reflection,
yeah,
sir.
For us, the family.
Not parasites like you.
We're here to support you.
You've shown no respect for either of my lads. How is that support? Yeah.
Just think we've been really naive. We spent so much time wondering whether we were compatible that we forgot to work out whether the kids were. I feel like I'm walking on eggshells.
Sam feels like the lodger.
We'll sell the house. We'll buy something together. Please, Claire, don't do anything hasty.
It's a bit late for that.
I know I've put you in an impossible position. I know you think I don't appreciate you.
Look, I want to be there for you, like today, but I can't if you won't talk to me.
I am a soldier. There are things I can't talk to you about.
Look, if we want to make this work, we've got to give it everything.
On a restaurant terrace by the river, Pete smiles and strokes Claire's bobbed blonde hair. Howard and Tom arrive home. Paula's looking at Matt's photo hanging above the mantelpiece. Howard grabs the house phone and dials Tasha's house.
Hi, we can't get to the phone right now. Please leave a message for Matt. Tasha will help me after the tone.
Tasha, it's Howard.
Just wanted to see if you're all right. You know where we are?
Tasha listens. At the Raveleys?
Do you really think she's going to pick up the phone after today?
Gore, you're all desperate to move on. This was our one and only chance.
To do what? Crucify his widow?
And me.
Make me look like a bloody fool?
To remember.
We won't stop remembering. We couldn't if we tried.
Put Matt's side of the argument.
And do what? Bring down the British army?
Oh, don't be so stupid.
Oh, just destroy Tom's career.
Oh, for a couple of hard men, you've got very weak stomachs.
She thinks I didn't protect him.
I've never said that!
People have been dying round us for years. That's war. He's gone. And it's so bloody ordinary, it hurts. You feel it in your gut. The way he died, there had to be more to it. But love, he was only special to us.
Paula glares at him.
I'm going for a walk.
Shall I come?
Dad,
leave it.
Julie's in Louise's bedroom.
Lift. I've got to get into your crinkles.
My crinkles? I thought I passed anatomy. Anyway, apart from you and a couple of mates, no one knows anything's changed. I mean, I'm not divorced, I'm not separated, I'm just on hold.
That's up to you, isn't it?
And I can't tell the children yet.
Why not?
Because it'll break their hearts. And the questions. And why should I be the one that has to answer them nobly? I want to see him squirm.
Lift. Dr. Julie prescribes a night on the town. How does Friday sound?
It sounds not soon enough. Done. Thanks.
In a towel, she grabs her robe off the door. There's a poster of a soldier there.
Oh, you see what I mean? He's everywhere.
Lou, if you're not sleeping with him, you don't have to sleep with his stuff.
Louise pulls the poster down and screws it up.
Better?
Yeah. I gave the army my most precious possession. And what did they give me back? Silence. There should have been a scrambler on Sophie's Land Rover. By month three, I'd found out it was in the warehouse, half a mile up the road. Month 38, the MOD admits to the coroner there was a communication breakdown. Was anybody sacked?
At the Barthams.
I told you there's no one I'd want to bring from school. They wouldn't get it.
Really, nobody?
Besides, I don't need to buy company.
Don't even think about it.
You'll be safe enough at the back. Just don't talk to me, don't nag me about earplugs, and don't ask me if I've made any friends.
This time's enthralled to the army.
Be firm, Maria. What else is there?
Is he in the shops, pubs, grovelling and scraping for the Green Pound, and we're all meant to feel grateful? And the schools. St. Bryce's oversubscribed. First day of term, three lots of pad sprats from St. Mark's Estate waltz in through the gates. It's not fair, is it?
Paula walks out of the meeting. Faisal follows her.
Paula?
She glances round.
Paula?
She stops and turns.
My husband's done his 22. My eldest son's about to fly back to Afghan. I am not a victim. I'm proud of my son.
Me too. Corporal Harun Aga, 331, 2 Mercians. It's been 3 years, but it feels like yesterday.
We're not extremists. We're just grieving families like you. Here's my card. Mobile, email, Call me anytime. It's never switched off.
Paula takes the card and walks.
The night times are the worst.
She glances back, then goes. Howard and Tom play darts at the pub.
Ooh, 20. Nice.
Ooh,
that's more like it.
That is rubbish.
Oh!
Paula arrives. Tom looks round. She looks him in the eye.
I'm sorry.
It's all right, Mum.
No, it's not. It's not all right.
Howard comes over as Paula puts her hand on Tom's shoulder, then hugs him warmly. Howard winks at Paula.
Come on, get off the hockey.
Night. At the Raveleys, Howard's asleep in bed on his own. Paula's on the sofa downstairs. She's on the phone.
Hello.
You were right. The night times are the worst.
Paula, is that you?
It's good you rang.
Checkbook.
Oh, do me a favour, H.
Hey, there's nothing sinister. I'll have it for you next time you come.
3 months this account's been outstanding, and I won't press you soon. Well, I'll do my bit for Help for Heroes, but fair's fair, I'm not running a charity here.
Monday. You'll have your money on Monday.
Thanks.
Howard takes the box of groceries and heads into the cookhouse, where Rob sits down with Dino and Jakey. Millie comes over.
Hi. Did you get my messages?
Full English. Yeah, go on then. Full English.
Yeah.
Three full English breakfasts and three teas.
Manners?
Please.
Lemon to your eye.
And I'll have scrambled egg with mine, please.
Tom's with Tasha and Alfie.
Get one down the hill.
Wasn't sure you'd let me in.
You slammed the door and someone's face will only come in round the back.
Where did you read that? The Little Book of Calm?
Tell your uncle he's a smart ass, Alfie.
I'm sorry. About?
Yeah, well, it isn't you should be apologising, though, is it?
My dad had a right go at her.
Let me guess. Water off a duck's back?
No, no, she's just... desperate. She needs someone to blame.
Taliban not good enough for her.
Sometimes I think she blames me.
He smiles ruefully and looks down.
Tash. I stood up for Matt and you. You didn't get to hear the good stuff.
Tasha looks down, then back at Tom.
What matters to me is what I tell Alfie. His daddy died to save a little boy like him. Who cares what went before?
How did that lazy, useless big head ever find a girl like you?
She smiles. Millie follows Rob out of the cookhouse.
Wait! Don't be like this.
Just give me a minute, I'll be with you.
Okay, right.
See you in a bit.
Did my dad do that?
Just slipped.
He was screaming rape, wanted to call the police. I told him straight, I'll deny it. It's not like he could prove it. He backed down in the end.
Am I supposed to be grateful?
He knows now. I've told them we love each other.
Rob looks away.
I was amazing before you knew my age. Why does it matter now?
Because you've ruined everything. But... I can't even fart without your dad finding out. My life in the army's finished. You'll swan off to uni and bounce around the world and I'll just be some funny story to your mates, won't I? Yeah.
Rob!
You made me feel like a perv.
He shrugs her off. Paula heads for a cafe with Faisal.
I can't stay long. If someone sees me, I'll be shot. Drinking with the enemy. Howard hates this place.
A jeweller's.
How about that one, if you don't like matchy-matchy?
Last day of R&R. We should be in bed.
Do you know what I think?
What do you think?
I think that we should get married in flip-flops. Except Mummy wouldn't like it, would she? Or Stuart's balding.
You hippie.
Tory boy. Come on. The sooner you choose, the sooner we can be back in bed.
All right, I'll have that just there.
In the cafe.
We won't agree on this, but since you ask, Afghan's as lost now as it will be in 2014. In Harry's name, I say we throw. Save what lives we can.
Except he died for nothing. Never.
It doesn't stop me missing him.
Paula sips her coffee.
Howard keeps saying our place is a home, not a shrine. Have you kept much?
My wife has most of his things.
Are you not, Tom?
We split up.
I'm sorry.
She has the medals and the photographs, the house and the children and the car.
And what did you get?
He shrugs.
Memories. My youngest, Fergan, blames me, the great assimilator. Says if I hadn't so much banged on about respecting queen and country, Harun would be alive today. That's him on a good day.
Paula looks down ruefully, then back up.
Are they far?
Leicester. The group keeps me busy. We like a family in a way.
She looks thoughtful.
Maria's daughter died in 2005.
Her only daughter.
Is that all I've got to look forward to? Reliving it over and over again like a stuck record. Will I ever? Bang. Peace.
Faisal puts his hand on her wrist. They walk round a corner in town.
Next one's on me.
Thanks for listening. Who listens to you?
He shrugs and offers his hand. She hugs him.
Right, come on you, bed. Ooh.
Nearby, Pete spots Paula and Faisal breaking from their hug and splitting up. He takes Claire's hand.
Come on.
At the barracks, Howard and Tom head through a hangar.
You don't mind your mother not turning up?
I get it. It's too much.
They spot Pete outside with his family.
Watch your back, son. And your front.
I will.
Howard and Tom share a hug. Tom goes, passing Pete. Pete offers his hand to Howard, who shakes it.
I'll look after him. Don't worry. Howard, do tell me if I'm speaking out of turn, but Paula should be wary of getting too close to those campaigners, Parents for Peace, or whatever they call themselves.
She wouldn't give that show a time of day.
Well, if they do come knocking, just watch the chat about Matt's emotional state.
I don't get you.
Any suggestion he wasn't in his right mind, had suicidal thoughts, whatever, if that gets to the wrong ears, it might impact on his insurance.
Tom's eyes widen.
All right.
Okay.
Pete goes. Howard puffs his cheeks out. Tasha and Alfie are at the cookhouse with Howard.
Have you heard from your mum?
You know, Chez, I'm never off the phone. She rang to say they got back safely. There'd been a flood in the bar. Oh, and Manuel had made off with the takings while Glenn were over here. Yeah. Apart from that, it's all a lovesome dream.
Chez, about the inquest.
What's in there?
No.
Looking for Paula. Is it just me or is it quiet in here?
Oh, it's time of day. Workers have all been and gone and the ladies who lunch are putting the lippy on. Shall I open this? Shall I see what it says?
He unwraps a mug.
World's greatest granddad. World's best president.
He kisses Alfie, then Tasha's cheek.
Something else. I should wait for Paula, really, but...
She hands him a card. There's a baby sonogram inside.
Happy birthday, Grandad.
Howard looks shocked.
You're not.
Oh, hey. You'll be putting up the customers.
When? How?
Matt's last hour now.
Howard sobs into a napkin.
That is the best present ever.
Hey, you didn't tell me what Paula got you? Not another penny, I hope.
Paula, She's got a lot on her plate. We'll do something tonight.
Paula's outside an apartment door. Faisal opens up.
Paula, hi. Is everything all right?
I needed to see you.
Come in.
She passes him in the doorway. He shuts the front door. They sit in the living room with cups of tea. Paula picks up a framed photo of Faisal's son in uniform.
Every day a little bit more slips away, you know?
I know.
She puts the photo down, then looks up and sobs.
He should be here.
Faisal gently slides some tissues across the coffee table.
Was Howard upset?
Oh, I don't know. He's at work.
But you didn't go to see him?
I'm sorry. I knew I shouldn't have come.
Paula, we're friends. You're always welcome. But this is how it starts. You either grow together or you drift apart. I should know.
They look in each other's eyes. Home front. Howard arrives home with the little gift bag Tasha gave him. He loiters in the doorway and listens, then shuts the door and heads inside. He puts his keys down on the dresser, then paces into the living room and loiters beneath Matt's photo, scanning around. Faisal pulls his hatchback car up outside the house.
Yeah, just his. Great, thanks. Thanks, Faisal. For the food, for everything.
I enjoyed it.
Me too.
When you weren't crying.
When I wasn't crying.
Howard marches outside. Paula double takes and gets out of the car.
How come our fellatium knew before I did?
You what? Howard!
You're knocking around with him. What are you playing at, Paula?
Howard.
When I want your opinion, I'll ask for it, pal. Get inside.
Stop acting like an idiot.
I said inside.
Howard, you've got the wrong episode.
Howard?
Paula was upset, but it's you she wants to speak to.
It looks like it.
There is nothing going on.
Today is my birthday. 29 years of marriage. This is the first time she's ever forgotten. Don't you be telling me there's nothing going on.
Howard.
Howard stalks indoors. She follows.
Howard.
Julie and Louise arrive at the Latian wine bar by night.
Oh, chocolate. Hey, if he asks you to feel his muscles, love, rub.
Oh, you've not met my mother, have you?
Oi!
Back in. All right, my round.
Vodka? Vodka. What about your friend?
Nah, not my type. She had Botox on the brain. Mate!
Oh, my God. Are you giving him the eye? Yeah, well, maybe it's time to get back on the horse. Well, you could do a lot worse, girl.
They share a smile. In the living room at the Raveleys...
Pete Bartham warned me, and I told him he got it wrong.
When were you talking to Pete Bartham?
He said, watch yourself, they'll manipulate you.
Well, no one's manipulating
me. He said, keep your trap shut about Matt being fragile if you want the insurance to pay out to Tasha.
That's blackmail. And you just took it?
This is not your money you're playing with, Paula. How often have you seen him?
How many times?
How often?
We've talked on the phone a few times. We've met for coffee.
And tonight?
I called round. There was something
to
I really
his house.
Want. He was making tea. I stayed for something to eat.
You've had dinner? At his house?
Oh, am I not allowed to be alone with a man? And you call them fundamentalists.
She goes into the kitchen and opens a drawer.
Put them away, you don't even smoke.
I'm starting again, as of now. I don't need your permission.
Paula, what's going on here?
I keep trying to tell you nothing.
Don't insult my intelligence. I'm not talking about sex. I'm talking about loyalty. Bearing your soul, telling him your secrets and you should be sharing them with me.
Oh, funnily enough, that's what he said. But he doesn't know you. Since when did you ever share your feelings?
She puffs a cigarette, They enter the living room.
We are all hurting. It's not a question of who shouts loudest. Crap. Do you think I didn't love that boy? Well, fighting won't bring him back.
You've just accepted.
No, I'm working my way round it. Because I've had practice. Your first affair with Duncan Phillips. You knew I knew.
Duncan was years ago.
15.
More.
Matt was 8. He saw you together. That took some explaining.
It was nothing. A couple of months. He was there. I was lonely. He didn't say. Why? Why, Howard?
Didn't want to lose you. And here I am, losing you. We're all losing you. You're so obsessed with your dead son. What about the one who's alive? You can hardly have a conversation with him. Because he survived and Matt didn't. Tasha nearly left for Spain. I wouldn't have blamed her if she had. You don't even know you're going to be a grandmother again.
Paula's brow wrinkles. She shakes her head.
So, what, Tom?
Tasha? She's having Matt's baby.
Paula rolls her head, then sits down in the armchair, looking shocked. At the Barthams, Claire arrives home and finds Millie in the living room.
They waited up. How was it?
Well, if I could shift the ringing in my ears, I would tell you.
Cool.
Sam bumped into some friends from his old school. Josh offered him a sleepover.
Cool.
Claire sits and shuts her eyes.
My mum never took me to any concerts. Ballet, point to point. Never any gigs.
I'm so rock and roll.
In pink pyjamas, Millie smiles. Louise is on her doorstep with Chloe.
Taxi's paid for. This is for you. Night, Chloe.
Night, Louise.
Louise goes inside, where handsome Carl is waiting in the kitchen. Louise smiles saucily. Carl looks rueful.
Chloe. Chloe Potter. The dad's in Joe's unit, right? Brownie points on that one, Lou. The Sway Craft did in a picture on Facebook. Chloe would tell her mum, would tell her dad, who's bound to tell Joe that you had company tonight. Hey? Come on, be honest. You brought me back here for a reason.
Too right, I did.
With a beer in hand, she kisses him twice.
I'm not your revenge shag.
So cynical. Besides,
Chloe's gone, so might as well get hung for a sheep as a lamb.
Or not get hung at all.
He stands up.
Are you seriously going to get me all revved up and then just leave?
Tempting as it is.
He kisses her hand, then heads for the door. In the kitchen doorway, he stops and turns back. He looks at Louise for a moment, then goes. Louise smirks to herself and sips her beer. At the Raveleys, Howard brings Paula a glass of brandy.
So Matt never knew?
Tasha never knew. Not till after the funeral.
Paula smiles.
Might be a girl. I'm sorry.
It's not enough. I love you to bits, but I'm not taking the crumbs off the table.
I've hurt you. Today, especially.
Oh, come on. We both hurt each other over the years. But we had the army and the kids and the business. What is keeping us together now? Is it memory? Is it habit? Because it's not enough. No. Come on, be honest.
You're scaring me.
We've got to decide, kid.
Are we in this marriage for keeps?
Don't say that. Not after all we've been through.
People change. Maybe it's time to let go.
Could you do that?
I don't want to. But if all we do is cause each other pain...
Oh, please. Howard. If I didn't have you...
You'd have Tom. You'd have Tasha and the kids. The world wouldn't stop turning.
Without you, it would.
She looks up into his eyes, then down.
Howard.
She gets up and stands close to Howard. He puts his lips against her cheek. She puts her hand on his arm. They slowly fall into an embrace. ITFC audio description. Next time.
Your oven has kicked out of your house.
If we go to the wall, what will you get instead? Another kebab shop? Is that what my son died for?
Give me that phone, you pervert!
You're saying you don't trust him?
Darling, I don't really know him.
In a history of violence?
He's a soldier.
It's Joe. He's taking the kids.